away we go.
Yeah. Are you ready? We're already recording. So, hey, everybody, it's Movie the Podcast. And this week, it's your two favorite members of the show, Topo and Alec. Goggs is off getting his dick sucked or something. And Sean is going to be late getting his dick sucked. So everybody's out there getting their dick sucked. And me and Alec are just here with unsucked dicks.
Putting in the work, like always. Yeah,
like always. Workhorses.
Bunch of jabronis.
Workhorses of the show.
Real students of the game.
That's right. This week we watched Serenity. Joss Whedon's Serenity. A movie that I have seen, I think. I feel like I've seen most of this movie a bunch of times, but I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was something that, like, I don't know where, like, it would have, maybe Sci-Fi Network or something. It was played a whole bunch, because I remember, like, definitely jumping in and out. Like, I've seen the whole thing before, like, yeah, once, too. But it's something I definitely remember seeing, like, parts of at other points, like,
yeah,
PBS or something like that. It never was big enough to be like an HBO movie, I don't think, but
no. And I also remember this being a very popular, like, DVD movie. Like, I don't know why. This is a movie that, like, a lot of people owned on DVD for whatever reason.
Because, well, the whole show was because the show got canceled.
Yeah.
And then, like, DVD sales prompted them to make a movie, and then the movie did bad. Like, basically, it was a 40 mil budget and they made 40 mil.
Oh, shit. So that means they lost money.
Yeah. But like, I'm pretty sure you're right. Like, DVD and home sales of it, like, made a freaking fortune.
Yeah. I feel like this is a movie that, like, I don't know. I always hear people talk about fondly. Like, I just remember this being in a lot of people's houses in the early 2000s. Now, this is a sequel to the show? I never watched the show.
Sequel to the show. Yeah. I never watched the show either. I never finished it. I did not find the show to be nearly as good as the movie. I think it's something that, I don't know if it's his dialogue or whatever, it works better in a smaller dose like this, like concentrated, yeah, than spread out over 10 or 12 episodes. But I'm pretty sure this starts, like, the start of this movie is, like, almost immediately after the show ends, or very close to it. Like, it's almost a continuation of how the show ends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I like I said, I'd never watched a minute of the show, and, like, I wasn't sure if this was, like, before the show, after the show, like, how that all worked. And you're telling me that this was because the show did so well on DVD. I didn't even know that. I didn't know the order of these things at all. So,
yeah, the show was canceled in 2002 before, like, all of its episodes had even aired.
Oh, wow. It was one of those shows.
Yeah. Like, 11 of 14 episodes had aired. No other networks would pick it up, and Whedon was able to sell it to Universal as a movie because, well, I guess one of the executives loved the show and gave him money to come up with an ending or a sequel or whatever.
Huh.
This is all according to Wikipedia.
I never understand shows that, like, they already shot all the episodes and they cancel it halfway through. Like, why would you do that? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like just air it. Like, okay, like, I don't know. Like, or, like, Martin reruns gonna fucking get that ratings boost you need, or whatever you're gonna put in that time slot. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Or what was popular in the early 2000s on Fox, like House reruns or something?
On Fox? Good Lord. The X-Files all over the place.
That late, though? They were over by then, right?
Were they? Yeah, maybe. They had a couple of revivals, too, though. I can't never remember the timelines.
They had revivals. They had the Lone Gunman spinoff show.
Oh, you remember? God.
Yeah, it was not. It was a dark time for TV.
But there were three of them.
Yeah, it was real bad. It was real bad. And then, like, you had I want to say that they even, because remember, Mulder left the show and they brought in, what's his name? The T-1000.
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick. Yeah. They brought him in. And then I want to say after one of the movies, they did bring back Mulder, but I don't remember.
I remember how excited I was for that first X-Files movie, and that thing, it's a piece of shit.
Fucked. It was so bad.
Even as like an excited, like whatever, 17-year-old or 16-year-old,
I was pumped.
And I cannot express to you the level of disappointment.
Well, like,
nothing happens.
I thought it was going to like pay off a bunch of stuff. I thought it was leading up to something, and nope, it just didn't do shit.
Yeah. So apparently, when the Firefly went on DVD, when they announced the DVD, it sold out its pre-order allotment in less than 24 hours. And that helped prompt them to make a movie.
Jesus. That's interesting. So like that, so that and like Family Guy, you can blame DVD sales on, you know?
Yeah. And they both of them are Fox shows that they just didn't give them enough of a chance initially, I guess.
That's wild, dude.
I mean, it's Futurama's originally a Fox. They came back how many times?
Oh, yeah.
They're on like their sixth or seventh comeback now.
Yeah, they came back a bunch. Like, yeah, it's pretty wild to think about, especially with like Whedon, because I mean, obviously he went on to become like, you know, he had all the success with the Marvel movies and stuff. But like, I want to say he had like three failed shows in a row on Fox because he had this, he had some other show with, Elijah Dushku and
Dollhouse, maybe.
Yeah, Dollhouse. That was it. And there was another one I want to say.
I'm getting right. I'm trying to find his highlighted name so I can look up his filmography. But I think you're right. Like, Fox gave him a couple of.
I mean, obviously, like, Buffy was successful, but, like, that was the WB or whatever. No, CW was that?
Buffy? Yeah, that was the CW. Buffy and Angel are both like super successful for them. I'm surprised they didn't just keep trying to make more Buffy shows.
I'm actually surprised that IP hasn't come back yet in some kind of remake in one fashion or another. You know what I mean? Like they're remaking everything else. Like,
yeah.
Why isn't there a Buffy remake? Why isn't there a what was that show that was Charmed? Remember that show?
Oh yeah,
with what's her name and what's her name and the other what's her name, and they were like witches.
The only one I remember is Rose McGowan. I can't remember the names of the other two. And she was—I don't think she was even the original one. It was a Shannon Doherty.
It was Shannon Doherty and oh my god, why can't I think Alyssa Milano? I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think Rose McGowan came in like late. Yeah. I think she was a late season replacement.
Oh, I forgot. Joss Whedon co-wrote Cabin in the Woods. That movie's awesome.
Oh, really? I didn't know he did.
Him and Drew Goddard apparently wrote it, or he co-wrote it and produced it. Who the other writer was.
I had no idea. Well, that's really good. That if that's the case, that's one of the best things he's ever written.
I guess Dollhouse is the only other one. So it says it was Dollhouse is the fourth show he created, so that would have been Buffy, Angel, Firefly, and Dollhouse. But yeah, I remember Dollhouse being dog shit.
Yeah, it was real bad. And I had a big crush on what's her name? Elijah Dushku, but it was real bad. Yeah,
I loved her from Buffy.
Oh, I forgot she was in that. I never really watched Buffy either. I know you were a big fan.
I was. I used to have all the DVDs.
Oh, I know.
Buffy and Angel.
I lived in that house. I remember.
Back when people owned physical media.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about Buffy.
Yeah, we watched Serenity. But let's talk about what we watched this week. Who am I going to pick? I don't know. Alec.
I didn't watch anything.
Really? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a 20-minute episode. Sean's going to come in. We're all going to be finished.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything this
week. Wow. That's unusual. That's unusual for you.
Bunch of reruns of TV shows that I've already watched. Nothing new.
Nice.
Wow. TJ.
Wow. I watched a couple of things. I watched, two movie things. Two things. I watched a movie called Rap World, which I can't ever remember his fucking name. I want to say it's Ryan O'Malley. He's the reason I know him is he's a recurring character on Connor O'Malley is his name. But he's a recurring character on I Think You Should Leave. Like, he's one of the actors on there. Wow. And he has a really great YouTube channel. Like, he makes a lot of these very odd like pseudo art film comedy short films on his YouTube channel, and I love them. And he put this one out a couple of months ago called Rap World that I hadn't gotten around to watching yet. And it's a found footage movie. Well, it's more, not really found footage, excuse me. It's more like a mockumentary type movie. And it's about these just like 20 something dipshits in like rural Pennsylvania and their night that they're going to create their like magnum opus rap album. And it's really fucking good. And it's like, it's one of those things where I love, like we talked about this a long time ago when we reviewed fucking Over the Top, but there's a certain kind of acting that feels so fucking real. Cause it doesn't feel like there's a certain art to feeling like a normal person. And this video, like this documentary just feels like a bunch of 20 something dipshits that like have no ambition in life, making a rap album, having no concept that they're like they're like awful at it. And like, that's like where the comedy comes from. Cause it's not like at times it's not like laugh out loud funny. It's kind of absurdist in a weird way. Like, just by how delusional they are. There is something that happens towards the very end that's like very funny, but like, I just kind of loved it. Cause it reminded me of being 20 years old and being like, yeah, we're going to do this. This is going to be awesome. And then getting sidetracked and going to a party and getting like blackout drunk. And like, I don't know. I thought it was very, very good. It's only an hour long. I think it's less than an hour. It's like 56 minutes or something. But it's called Rap World. Connor O'Malley's YouTube. Check it out. Big fan. Like, YouTube is like sneakily, like a lot of these creators are just putting stuff directly on there. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about that guy and his two short films that did the Chair and Milk and Honey. Or Milk and Cereal, and like, those were great. It's like YouTube is sneakily becoming like this really cool platform for people just to fucking like kind of quietly release these projects they've been working on. But yeah, Rap World was really good. I mean, it's not like quite like it doesn't have the like polish and charm of like Popstar, but it's like if Popstar took place in like, you know, rural Pennsylvania. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was very funny. I really enjoyed it. I also watched a movie called Azrael. It's another Shudder original. I heard people talking about it. Got a lot of buzz on the old horror TikToks.
Is it about Nightcrawler's dad?
I wish. No. And it's also not about Jean-Paul Vallée or whatever his fucking name was that took over for Batman for a little while.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that guy.
How could you forget? Do you remember that fucking costume? It had like fucking like, it had like guns and claws on it. Oh, yeah.
Claws on like fish hooks. Like, how could you even grab anything?
It was fucking ridiculous. No sense.
Yeah. And then he beat Bane like to death.
Yeah. 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 He like killed him. It was ridiculous. Well, he didn't actually kill him, but he came very close. Yeah. That shit was pretty stupid. No, Azrael is this, you'd like it, Alec, because it's a post-apocalyptic movie. Ooh. It's, it stars, Samara Weaving, and this post-apocalypse is a post-rapture apocalypse.
Oh.
So, there's no dialogue in this movie at all. No one speaks in the entire film. But the idea, there's a title card in the very beginning that says, after the rapture, some people renounce the sin of speech or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing it. So like all these survivors, they don't talk, like they don't say anything. So there's no dialogue through the whole movie. And it's still pretty interesting. Like, it's basically like a revenge story. Like, Samara Weaving is basically just minding her own business with her other survivor, presumably boyfriend survivor. and then they get attacked by this other kind of like tribe or clan or whatever. And then she basically after that goes on like this revenge tear to kill them all. It's very simple. And again, like it kind of has to be for the story that it's telling. But they also, in the process of dealing with other like humans, they deal with these, this race of like, obviously they don't explain what they are. You just visually see them. They're like, just these, like they look like they're like severely burned. Like that's the best way I can describe them. They look like charred people. Huh. And they like eat people, but they don't like, you don't really know too much other than like they, the group that tries to, that attacks Samara Weaving, the first thing they try to do is they strap her to this chair and they basically try to like sacrifice her to these like burnt people. And it's pretty interesting. And like for a movie with no dialogue, I think it tells its story very well. It is a little one note and it's short. It's like under, I think it's an hour and 17 minutes long. But even at that runtime, I felt like it could have gone a little shorter. Because, I mean, it kind of has like one mode. But I thought it was good. The it's very gory. Like, the effects are well done. The action scenes are well done. I enjoyed it overall. It's definitely worth a watch. It's one of the good Shudder films.
Good thing. I mean, Shudder is killing me. Shudder has they have a lot of bangers.
I'm so glad all the guys decided to drop out of the show this week because my throat feels like it's on fire. but yeah, no, Shudder's pretty solid. And the last thing is I watched most of Arcane on Netflix. It's like a cartoon. It's really good. It's funny, the second season dropped last week and everybody was talking about how good it was. And I was like, I guess I should get around to watching the first season. I hate the video game it's based off of, League of Legends. And it's why I never watched the first season. Like when it came out a couple years ago, I was like, League of Legends. No, thank you. But it's really fucking good. The animation's good. The story is really good. Like I said, I'm not quite finished the first season yet, but it's excellent. Who's the voice actresses in that? It's like, I shouldn't even brought up because I can't remember. But it's the girl from the Fallout show. And
I can't remember her name, but I know who you mean.
Ellie Pertnum or something like that. And then Haley Stanfeld or Seinfeld, whatever her name is.
Oh, she's great. She's awesome.
She played Hawkeye in she's in it, and she's one of they're sisters in the show, and they're like the two main protagonists. It's really good. I really like it. Like if you like cool animation, because it's kind of like this kind of gritty, kind of cel shaded animation, kind of similar to Into the Spider-Verse a little bit, but like a little bit more like hard edged. But it looks great. And I really like the storyline. It's definitely got like a very kind of anti-capitalist bend to it. It's good. I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely worth checking out. I can understand why people like it so much, but for dear God's sake, don't ever play the game. Stay away from League of Legends. It'll destroy your life. So yeah, that's all I watched. So now we really are going to be done by 7:30.
Well, for a few minutes, let's talk about Joss Whedon and how garbage of a person he seems to be. I'm reading about all his like issues now.
Oh, he's been thoroughly canceled, right?
And none of them are like sexual harassment, but he just seems like the worst person.
What was some of the big hits?
It's like, so I guess going all the way back to Buffy, I don't know if you're familiar with all the actors and actresses, but Charisma Carpenter,
who I know was who on that Buffy is, yeah.
And Angel, right?
Yeah.
When she got pregnant, he, kept calling her fat and asking her if she was going to keep because she needed to stay thin for her role.
What a dipshit. That's awful. Who does that?
And pretty much everybody in the whole Buffy cast has come out saying similar things. They keep saying casually cruel, like he's just cruel to people just to,
like, what a fucking just weirdo.
To be a dick.
Yeah. Also, like, look at him, by the way. Like, it's not like, yeah, not like this guy is like fucking Adonis over here. Hey, what's up, fatso? Like, what?
And
the
like
fuck?
That would have been in like 96, 97. So that's like going all the way up till now. Like, there's still complaints about him now from all like the Justice League people, and they all pretty much say he's the worst. He's just a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, Justice League is like the last like project I remember him on. I mean,
his like filmography for some reason isn't showing up on the Wikipedia page, so I can't just look.
Shit, they canceled him so hard they got rid of his movies. They canceled his movies.
Well, like, I'm looking back at like he's done so much stuff that like I love. It's just like such a shame. And I guess not a shame isn't the word, but it's disappointing that he's such a piece of shit.
Oh, it's disappointing when like somebody that created a bunch of art that you like is like an asshole.
Yeah, like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's not, I mean, different issue, but it's very disappointing.
Yeah, and a lot of people have a hard time coming to terms with that, so they deny it, deny, and it's that's not healthy either, you know?
No, so. But I mean, like, he created Buffy, created Angel. I mean, I love Serenity. He directed Avengers 2, or Avengers and Avengers 2.
He directed both the Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers 2 isn't, like, spectacular, but Avengers 1 is, like, I remember, like, shaking my seat when I saw that movie for the first time.
The first Avengers movie is great. Age of Ultron is not very good, but
whatever. No. Look at, like, all the comics he's written. Like, Astonishing X-Men is, like, one of the best X-Men comics.
How did I forget about
like,
that?
Full stop. The first 24 issues are, like, almost perfect. They're, like, perfection.
Yeah, they are really good.
Yeah, that whole first arc where they bring back Colossus.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
And just the way he worked with Cassidy for, like, some of those big, like, splash pages where, like, it's so minimalist.
Yeah, fucking,
like, drawn.
R.I.P. John Cassidy.
Oh, is he dead?
He passed away, like, a few months ago.
Oh, that's a shame. But I still remember, like, that one page with Cyclops and the Sentinel. Where it's just all red from Cyclops going full blast. Like, that page will stick in my head forever. It's just disappointing that he's such an awful human. And, like, hopefully he never gets to work again.
Yeah, but you know how that works.
He'll
get plenty of work. Like, that's not how our society is. Like, everybody's got a short memory, and they'll forget. So, and he's established. You know, he's had success. So,
yeah, he'll find something.
They always do. But what are you going to do? Anyway, I guess we can talk about what we watched. We watched Serenity. So since we can vamp for time, since we have basically all the time in the world, can we talk real quick about how great Nathan Fillion is and why isn't he a bigger movie star?
It's kind of surprising. Like, it's kind of surprising.
Like, he's wonderful in this movie. Like, I'd say he carries this movie. I think everybody in this movie does a good job, but I feel like he especially does a great job.
I mean, he does, and, like, I thought, like, the whole cast is, like, very charming.
I agree.
And the way that they wrote it, like kind of like a Western, and the dialogue is kind of, like, janky a little bit. Like, it works perfectly with
these
people that he has and how the show is written.
One of the things I was going to say is that I usually find his dialogue kind of taxing. It didn't really bother me at all in this movie. Like, I actually, like, there's a few lines that I could have done without. But overall, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, and Nathan, like, there's really, I don't know why. I don't know why he's not, like, he's pretty popular. Like, he's got a couple of, like, shows that are, like, big hits.
Yeah, he's good.
Like,
yeah, he's
Castle,
like
a... Castle, he's got that show where he's a cop.
But he's like those, a TV guy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Sean's here. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean. We're talking about why isn't Nathan Fillion a bigger actor?
Hold on. Now he's with us. Hey, Sean. Oh, he's muted. Hey, Sean, can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How do you feel about Nathan? How do you feel about Nathan Fillion? Sounds fine.
Hit or miss. I think he's better in this than he is in most things.
Yeah, I liked him in this. I think he should have. I feel like he should have been a bigger actor. That's what we were talking about before you got on.
I mean, he's really big on like TV and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's not hurting for work. Like, he's constantly working. But like, I could see him in another like alternate universe being like a big, maybe not action star, not like full action, but in more like stuff like this. Like, if he was a little younger, he could have been a good Star-Lord probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe. You know what I think it might be, and maybe it's just me, is like, I don't know if he's like traditionally hot. Like, I feel like he's hot in the way that like your mom would think guys were hot, but maybe not so. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has like,
he doesn't look like Chris Evans or that
right,
kind of,
or any of the other Chris's.
That David Hasselhoff really boils my potatoes.
He is like a Hasselhoff. Like, he's not a bad looking guy by any stretch, but he's like pretty like, masculine.
But he's not like traditionally like striking or handsome.
No, he's not like beautiful. You know how like you know.
Yeah. No, I see what, like, well, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Right. Or Ryan's Gosling or Reynolds or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, so we didn't quite get into the movie yet, but Sean, since you joined us, did you watch anything last week?
Oh, I watched some stuff. I'll try and keep it quick. So we
got plenty of time. We were like already into. We hadn't even started talking about the movie, so you got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Well, I watched two entire TV series. Ooh. Both starring Tim Robinson. I watched all of Detroiters, which I thought was really funny. It's a show that is really funny at first, and then as they kind of, because it's a serialized television show, there are some episodes that aren't as good because they're trying to tell a continuing story, if that makes sense. I don't know if serialized comedy always works particularly well.
Yeah.
Because they do have to do some kind of narrative lifting. So, but I would recommend it. Kevin Nash plays his dad, which is fucking hysterical. Like, wow. Everybody on
I
the
love,
show is
What's the other guy? Sam Richardson.
Oh, that guy's hilarious.
I love Ted Lasso, right?
Yeah, he plays the Nigerian
soccer
owner.
He's really good.
But he also, TJ, you watched Veep. Sean, have you watched Veep?
Yeah, I watched Veep.
No, I never watched it.
He plays like an aide to the president, and he comes on like two or three seasons in. And once he shows up, he's like the funniest part of the show. He's so fucking good in that show.
He is really good. But I also watched all of I Think You Should Leave, which might be the funniest sketch comedy show ever.
My favorite. So actually, before you got on, Sean, this is something you should check out. I think you'd like it. So you know who Connor O'Malley is? Like, he's in the Honk If You're Horny sketch. Like, he's that guy. He's in a couple of other sketches on. So he has a whole movie out on his...
I think he plays the brother in Detroiters.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does. So he's got a movie called Rap World on his YouTube, and it's this, like, mockumentary about these dipshits in, like, rural Pennsylvania making a rap album. It's very good.
Okay, I'm already in. Apparently, abruptly switching topics for 2 seconds. Apparently, Sean Baker, the guy that made Red Rocket and... fucking Tangerine, made another really good movie called Anora. I haven't seen it. Have you heard of it?
I really want to go see it, but I'm lazy. It's funny, once football season kicks in, like, I don't want to go to the movies anymore. I'm just waiting for, I'm hoping that it shows up on the torrents here soon, because I really want to watch it.
But I Think You Should Leave is, I mean, it's sketch comedy, right? So your mileage may vary, and some sketches work better than some.
I love it. I've rewatched it like a million times. Also, the episodes are 15 minutes long, so
is a sketch I haven't laughed so hard in my fucking life. It's like a take on what's that show with Sal and what the fuck is it? Not Crank Yankers. What is that show?
Practical Jokers. Yeah,
it's like a cross between that and that shit that Johnny Knoxville and Spike Jonze did, like with the prosthetic. But the prosthetic is so fucking big, like the face doesn't fit right. and you can see the seams, and I could not stop fucking laughing. Like, I thought I was gonna have a heart attack just from looking at it. And he's walking around the mall, just like, I don't want to be around anymore. They're like, what? Like on Earth? Like this guy goes, there's all this like existential crisis.
Why don't you take that woman's tray? Why? Because she's alone. You said it'd be. You said it would. That's something. I said it would be interesting.
There's a TJ and I've been texting about this all day. There's a driver's ed sketch where it's like, we're going to show you the driver's ed video, and it's a woman that's just, she's on the phone arguing about these fold up tables and how Eddie Munster fucked them up. But it's never explicit, like what her job, and the kids can't get past it. They're like, what, does anybody have any questions? Like, what is her job?
Tables. You really, like, you got to watch it. It's amazing.
There's this like press your
and it's luck also style like game. It's also like a it's like a school video, like one of these like training driver's ed videos. But she's like cursing the whole time. She's like, "What the fuck?" Like,
it's like she wasn't cursing. She said, "Shoot,
shoot."
There's a press your luck style game show with this thing called the Chunky instead of the Whammy, and it comes out and it doesn't know what to do. It's just the suit Andy Samberg's in the sketch. I don't want to tell the whole thing, but it's like don't talk, do not talk. Like the mouth doesn't move; it looks fake. Like the fucking what's the game? Because the guy Sam from Detroiters hosts all the game shows, like the
little buff boys
boys competition.
Little
like which boy is the buffest?
What's the baby one? The one where it's like the
best
the,
baby.
Yeah, that's fuck you, Harley Jarvis.
They're coming to kill Harley, and then in the middle of the sketch, he's like, oh, this shit sucks. We're done, and he just leaves. The metalloid maniac or whatever, with that big Plinko board that has to crawl across. Like, no, you need to understand that the board is like your floor. It's like, I can't do that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. And like, I feel like Alec, I feel like you would really love it. It's like a Frisky Dingo. This is like a litmus test show. Like, either you're going to think this is the funniest thing you've ever seen, or you are not going to like it at all.
I watched, I guess, like the first episode, and I did not love it. I didn't keep going. But you're right. Like, sketch comedy, like...
Yeah.
You got to watch it. You got to watch Bork, because, like, every sketch is different.
Well, so I mean, I remember...
I should give it a little more try, because I saw like the hot dog car.
Oh, that was funny. You didn't like that one?
And like it was, I think I had heard about it ahead of time, and it was like hyped up as like the funniest shit.
Oh yeah.
And when I saw it, I was like, I mean, it's funny, but it's not like it's not like
Tim Meadows pops up a couple times, and I love him. Ooh. I think.
Oh yeah,
somebody might have shared the Tim Meadows sketch at the fucking the
wedding.
3 minutes to think of something silly. That's ridiculous. Look.
Barney doesn't have hair.
Yeah, he does. His little feathers, like little fur, like feathers.
Yeah, no, yeah. I will say that, like, I remember years and years and years ago, Gogs tried to get me to watch Tim and Eric, and I watched it. I didn't really like it. And then I went back to it, and I loved the hell out of it. So sometimes, I don't know, sometimes things can strike you just in a different way. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's a sketch with a heart monitor that alerts your doctor when something's going wrong. And like his doctor,
I was jerking off.
Fun. He's like, I was jacking off. Anyway, it's hard to review a sketch comedy show, but I was, you know, there's some where it's like, you know, they're funny. It's like, oh, that's really funny. That's clever. And some where I'm just like howling. I'm laughing so hard. So again, mileage may vary, but Alec, I think you really enjoy it. If you overall,
I'll have to give it another shot.
Yeah, just the fucking God, why can't I think of his name? It's something Havoc, the fucking prank show, Carl Havoc. What is her job? Fucking tables. It's tables. That is her job. But what does she do with the tables? This is how I keep my house hot, with these tables. Anyway, that was all I watched. Oh no, I'm sorry. I watched a movie. I watched End of. Two things. Okay,
two
we're not
things?
Doing that anymore.
So,
oh, you broke up for a second. I didn't
say it. That was a problem.
All right, I watched roughly one half of Megalopolis, and I don't, like, I'm dreading going back to finish it. Like, it was so bad, I stopped it. Because I started watching End of Evangelion, and I was telling TJ, like, I almost stopped to watch Megalopolis. Because it's on the Plex, he said, you gotta watch. And I said, fine. I put it on, I made it through 52 minutes, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. It's so fucking boring. So then I put on End of Evangelion, which is another movie that wraps up a television show. So I guess that's kind of like parallel to what we watched.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best movies I've ever seen, animated or otherwise. I fucking loved it. But we almost need to do like a spinoff show just about that, because I could go on at length. But I don't know how well it works if you're not familiar with the lore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're not invested into the storyline up to that point, like, you'd be lost with that movie, because that movie pays off so much. And the interesting thing about End of Eva that I know you know, but other people might not know, is basically what happened in Eva's original run is that even though Eva was one of the most popular, we lost Sean. Damn. Well, I'll keep going. Hopefully I'll join back on. But even though Eva was one of the most popular shows of its time slot, they basically cut the funding to the show. So the last two episodes famously are kind of like slideshows, and people are really mad about it. And so the creators of the show, they finally got the money they wanted, and they made End of Evangelion, which is basically the original ideas for the final two episodes of the show. But then after you watch it, you're like, well, no wonder they were like, yeah, this is too much money, because it looks expensive as hell, and it's very, very, like, massive, like, the whole everything about it. Hopefully Sean comes back, because I don't want to talk about End of Eva for 10 minutes. But
he might not even realize he's gone. I'll still be talking.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Let me text him real quick.
I pulled up the plot synopsis on Wikipedia for
perfect. All right,
well, we'll give Sean a second, and then I'll just read through this so we can interject at point. Yeah, Joss Whedon, piece of shit.
He sucks.
You know, he created Ord and Armor and Abigail Brand, who are all like huge X-Men characters now.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess that makes sense, because that's part of that run. I didn't really think about it.
Me either. Like, I guess it's just been so long that it just been, especially Abigail Brand and Armor, like, they've been around. Like, Ord, I don't know if Ord is still around, but the other two are still, like, in the comics constantly. It's easy to forget that he created them with that run.
Yeah, I mean, that run too was like huge, because if you remember, like, the X-Men comics were like in the garbage before that run came out.
Yeah, there was a dip between New X-Men, and that Uncanny run at that time was fucking awful.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so
like, it was before they Rise and Fall of the Shi'ar Empire, which lapped.
Oh, that was great. That was real good. But yeah, hold on. Sean's texting me back something. I can see the dots moving.
Dot, dot, dot.
I guess this is a very long sentence here. There's like lots of dead air. He had a work call. He's got to call us back. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start.
This is going to be the most fucking disconjointed episode ever. Just go ahead and do the synopsis.
So, in the 26th century, humanity has colonized the new solar system. The central planets form the alliance and won a war against the outer planet Independence, who resisted joining the alliance. Child genius River Tam is conditioned by Alliance Sciences into becoming a psychic and an assassin, but is rescued by his brother, Dr. Simon Tam. I don't know that you can be conditioned into becoming a psychic. You're either psychic or you're not.
Also, that
unless I missed something.
That guy that plays like the shitty doctor, or not like a shitty, but like an evil doctor. That guy was that guy's been in a ton of stuff. He always
he's done a lot of the Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah, he always plays. That's right. Oh, he's the guy that in A Mighty Wind, he like runs the opera house or whatever that they rent out, and he's like, oh, I think I could sing a little bit, and then he starts singing like Ave Maria or something.
Yeah, and I think is he Parker Posey's husband in Best in Show?
Yes, he is.
It's a bear dressed like a bee. It's not a bee.
That's right. It's not a bee. great movies.
During her training, River inadvertently reads the minds of several top government officials and learns their secrets. Consequently, an Alliance agent known only as the Operative is tasked with recapturing her. And the Operative is... I'm going to butcher his name.
I know.
He would tell Ejiofor.
That guy's great.
He is excellent in this.
Yeah, he might be the best part of the movie, actually.
Pretty much everybody is excellent in this. Like, this... Spoiler alert, I fucking love this movie. Like, I thought it was really good. Anyway, the siblings have found refuge aboard this transport spaceship Serenity with Captain Mal Reynolds, First Mate Zoe Washburn, her husband Hoban Wash Washburn, mercenary Jane Cobb, and mechanic Kaylee Fry. Despite Simon's objections, Mal brings River on a bank robbery. River warns them that savage and cannibalistic reavers are coming. They escape, but Simon decides he and River will leave Serenity at the next port. This is the point where Dennis is in the movie for half a second.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Dennis so tries funny. To tries Dennis to escape with up. Them, and then they shoot him in the chest as he's getting taken by the reavers. And the reavers look fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, they do a good job of, like, the Legion of Doom type, like, glossing them up.
Yeah, the Reavers are cool. I will say that I had some problems in the very beginning of this movie and kind of throughout, but like some of the editing is really, really weird, but I think it's to kind of cover up their budget. Cause like when these Reavers are attacking, they're constantly like cutting back and forth from just Reaver attacks. But I think it's cause they can't really show too much because they can't afford.
And you're seeing a lot of like axes swinging.
Right.
Not actually like hating anybody.
And I think that it is definitely a function of the lack of budget, but it's fine. The Reavers are cool. I mean, I think one of my favorite aspects of this movie is that like it's very simple. Like I think like you know what I mean? Like it is very like it's a good playground to have these solid characters, and it's a very simple A to B plot. Like, there's not really a whole lot to this movie. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, it's very compact and very sleek, and it just kind of moves. Once they get to the next port, there's a TV commercial that has a subliminal message in it that makes River lose her shit and attack everybody. And she beats the hell out of a whole bunch of bar patrons. Mal contacts reclusive hacker Mr. Universe, who discovers the message designed to trigger her attacks.
And that guy's been in a ton of stuff too. I can't think of his name.
David Krumholtz. He's been in tons of stuff, like you said. He watches the video and notes that River whispered Miranda and then attacked and kicked the shit out of everybody. Mr. Universe is funny because he has a sex robot that he buried and is his legal, legit wife.
Based.
It's just sitting there on the bed and it makes a really sad scene later on.
Yeah.
Mal receives an invitation from Inara Sarah, who is Monica.
Deadpool's girlfriend from Deadpool. Yeah.
Baccarin.
Yeah, she is not hard to look at. Looks are not her problem.
Good Lord. And like this, the scene where they initially talk, I think is a good like encapsulation of like Joss Whedon's writing abilities.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like as soon as the screen goes off, like it's a trap, right? Like, oh yeah, it's definitely a trap. Like they all just kind of kick it around for a few minutes. And like it's just so disappointing. It's like when he wants to, he can write like really, really well, write good stuff.
Well, yeah, and I feel like, I mean, my later criticisms of his work is that everybody kind of sounds the same, right? Like, I feel like he, you know, I think I said he makes everybody talk like Spider-Man. Yeah. But, like, in this, like, everybody has, like, a distinct character. Like, I kind of know, again, even without watching the show, I feel like I know these characters pretty well by the end of this movie. I think that that alone is like a pretty, you know, that's pretty high praise, especially with a lot of the shit we watch, you know.
Oh, definitely. They go to the planet to see Inara Serra, the operative there. It's there and it's a trap because the operative wants River. River, who I don't think we said was played by Summer Glau.
Yeah.
Who, like, what happened to her?
I don't know.
Like, well, she was in that few years. She was going to be
in that, like Terminator show, and
she was like primed to be like the next like female kind of action star, and then nothing.
Also, like, this movie goes out of the way to tell you that she's 17, but then constantly is looking down her shirt. So, like, good job, movie, with that. Like,
well, there you go, Joss.
A little weird.
That's the future.
Yeah, it's the future. I guess they don't have an age of consent in the future, so it's all good.
They escape the planet with Inara Serra and leave the operative behind. They escape yet again due to ingenuity, because he says, "Well, trace their whatever thing," and they say, "Oh, well, we're getting 7 signals from that thing," because they have decoys that they shoot all over the place. Like, I love Nathan Fillion in this role. Is like, on one hand, he's smarter than everybody, but he's also dumb as shit, too.
Yeah, he's like, also kind of, he kind of aggroes, like, everything. It's kind of, but I mean, like, he is intelligent. Like, he's smart, but he does kind of, he is very impulsive at the same time, which is an interesting character.
Like, the scene right here where he meets the operative on the Coruscant planet or whatever.
Yeah,
The pleasure house or whatever they called it. He says, well, we have a neutron bomb or whatever targeting your ship's transponder. So if you play any funny games, we'll blow your ship out of the air. And then he pulls out his phone. He's like, this transponder?
Yeah.
So really, it's target. Like, he's smart, but he's also, I think impulsive, like you said, is the right word. He's smart, but he also lets his emotions get the best of him a lot. The crew flies to the planet Haven, but find it devastated. Their old friend, Shepherd Book, mortally wounded. Like, this guy's barely even. And I guess he was a big thing in the show.
Yeah,
but he's kind of just shoehorned in the movie for.
Yeah, he just gets killed pretty quick in this. He's kind of. But yeah, he seemed like a much bigger deal, because he's if you just go off the movie, you're like, well, who the hell is this guy? But apparently, he was a much bigger deal in the show, which makes sense.
So they disguise the ship as a Reaver ship so they could go to Miranda and get through the Reaver armada. They get to Miranda, which I think I said was a planet.
Yeah, you did.
The whole planet is dead. Every person is dead. They find a recording of Sarah Paulson.
A young Sarah Paulson. Yeah, I was like, oh, she's in this?
Saying that they had experimental gas or chemical they were putting into the air to reduce aggression or suppress aggression, but it worked so good that everybody just stopped doing everything and eventually laid down and died.
Yeah, it's funny. I read a book, believe it or not, called The Deep, and the book starts with this virus that they call the Gits, and it's exactly this. Like, people just forgot. Like, it's a virus that they just forget how to do everything. Like, eventually they just forget how to breathe, they forget how to eat, and they just kind of die. And it's like I wonder if Nick Cutter had seen Serenity, because it's like just this. Like, it came after this movie. So
maybe it's an interesting idea.
I think Nick Cutter owes them some money. It's a good book though, The Deep, because that's not even like the whole point of the book. That's just like the opening. That's just the opening of the book. Like, his brother is a research doctor that's working in this like deep sea lab to try to find a cure. So like the book is on like that. The Gits only talk about that for like the first chapter of the book, but it's definitely very. So when I heard that their description, I was like, oh, I've heard that somewhere. I was like, oh yeah, it was in that book.
So 300 or 30 million people died But then, like, 1% of the population became insanely aggressive and violent, and they became the Reavers. So basically, now the whole crew knows that the government created the Reavers accidentally, and they've been trying to keep it a secret. And that's why the operative wants River so bad, to kill her and kill them, so nobody knows their secret.
Yeah.
They reach out to. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I'll save it for the end. I think that the one thing that I don't know, maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't agree, but I feel like this plot device of, like, if the truth gets out there, then it's going to destroy, like, the evil hegemonic power or whatever. I don't think that works anymore because no. of the world we live in. Like, it's yeah. like people know the truth. They're like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Like, I feel like it kind of, like, I forgot, like, as I watched this movie, I was like, oh, this is, like, in a more ideologically pure time where people yeah. actually thought the truth mattered. It's like, it don't matter anymore.
Yeah, like, 20 years ago, we were so young and naive.
It made me very depressed, actually, because I was like, oh, this plot device can't work anymore because people just don't give a fuck. They'd find out, and they'd either not believe it or they'd blame somebody else, and, you know. The government propaganda would go a certain way, and I was like, oh, yep. that sucks. That really sucks. Anyway, continue.
They reach out to Mr. Universe to broadcast the recording that they found, and in the broadcast, what's-her-name gets killed, like, horrifically.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
She could hear, you could hear the Reavers, like, beating down. It's like a 3D, like...
it's like a hologram.
Hologram, kind of yeah.
yeah.
And she's, like, explaining everything and then saying, like, they're here. Like, I know I'm going to die, but at least maybe I can get this out. And then the door gets busted open. She takes one shot at them, misses, tries to kill herself, but doesn't get the shot off. So you can see them just, like, take her down and just probably rip her to shreds.
Yeah, Mr. Universe. Because the Reavers are sort of like... Like, they're a cross between, like, a zombie and kind of, like, they're kind of, they have some, they fly spaceships.
Yeah.
So they have some sort of intelligence. I guess from the thing that Sarah Paulson said is that they're just highly aggressive humans because yeah, they can.
It increases their aggressiveness and violence.
Yeah.
So, like, it probably, like, removes.
It's like eating lead like, paint.
Yeah. And then Peter Angelos makes a fortune. Oh, no, he was asbestos, not lead.
Yeah, it was asbestos, but still, fuck that guy.
Mr. Universe agrees to broadcast the recording across the galaxy, but then the operative kills him because he's actually sitting there waiting to ambush the Serenity ship.
Right.
So Serenity is slowly moving through the Reaver fleet to get to Mr. Universe's base. And he knows that the Alliance is there waiting for him. So they get to the front of the Reaver fleet, attack a Reaver ship to goad them into following them. And then they fly to the planet. And the operative, Chiwel Odiafor, is just happy as a pig in shit, thinking he's going to be able to pick him off.
Right.
And a scene that, like, I love, and he's
this
like,
is a cool. This is cool. This is
he's like
cool.
Target them, and then like 2 seconds later, all the Reaver ships come behind him, and he's like, his eyes get real wide. He's like, fire at everything, fire
yeah,
everything,
fire at everything. Yeah, I will say though, this is one of the scenes where it's like, man, I wish they had more money because like some yeah. of like again, it's like a victim of like a lot of like really weird edits and cuts. But I know yeah. why because they can't.
Yeah, because like, they had a $40 million budget.
Yeah, they don't have all the money to show all this shit. But, like, damn, this would be cool if this had, like, a fucking, you know, Star Wars budget where they could, like, show all this shit. Because it's a fucking great idea. Like, on yeah. paper, this is a fucking amazing scene. You know what I mean? It's still a good scene in the film, but it could have been better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, we all know from last week that Joss Whedon partially wrote Alien Resurrection.
Yes, we do. Yep.
So the Reaver ship that they shoot to start the attack, the one that the Serenity shoots,
mm-hmm.
is the getaway ship from Alien Resurrection. I forget the name of
shit.
It. The Barty or the Barty or whatever it was.
Oh, that's too funny. I didn't know.
The same ship. I didn't either. I just read
it. That's pretty funny.
So they fly through the battle. They land. Wash, the pilot, gets killed by a spear in the chest. And his death is super sad.
Oh, man. And it comes out of nowhere. I'm like, God damn it. They killed Alan.
Yeah, they landed. They're like, they got through the attack. They're clear.
Yeah.
Everybody's safe. And then a spear just comes through the front window and just impales him. It's really sad.
Yeah, and who doesn't like Alan Tudyk? Like, he's fucking great. Like, I was like, come on. You don't have to kill him. You could have left him alive. Come on.
The crew gets off the ship and they start making their way through Mr. Universe's compound to get to where he can broadcast, where Mal, the captain, can broadcast the thing since Mr. Universe is dead. We get an awesome scene of Summer Glau fighting a million Reavers and killing all of them, which looks really cool. And when they cut back to where she's like covered in blood and just like deeply like breathing, out of breath, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks very good.
Mal goes and finds Mr. Universe, who in another scene that's like surprisingly sad for a movie like this. Like, Mr. Universe, they showed him get stabbed earlier by the operative, but then you see that he crawled his way over to his sex robot wife to die in her arms, which is sad.
And then that's how I want to go. So,
whatever works. Hopefully, you don't get stabbed in the chest. That seems like an awful way to die.
It could happen. It's hard as a
fucking chest wound. But he was able to record a message onto his wife that she plays for Bao about a backup system deep in the bowels of the thing. So Bao makes his way down there. The operative finds the same thing and makes his way down there, and they have a pretty cool fight. I really liked, like, it's a typical just like back and forth with a lot
it's
of
very and, simple it's a very yeah. Like the I will say that, like, the choreography in this, if there's one other thing that's hurt by the budget, it's the direction and the like the fight choreography is kind of weak. But like at the same time, I don't know about you, but like I felt like the more simplified fight choreography kind of reminded me of like old Star Wars or like old science fiction movies. Like, I'm kind of glad it wasn't like all flashy and like full of karate. Like, you don't really need that.
Like, these guys, I mean, the operative maybe, but Val definitely isn't like a karate guy. He's a punch people cowboy.
Yeah. It was a cool like clash of styles. Like, you know, obviously the operator is much more trained, but you know, Nathan Fillion is just kind of like a fucking brawler, you know. But I think it worked. I think it worked pretty well.
One thing that I really liked was the glass floor and the shots coming like shooting up through the floor.
Yeah,
as they were fighting. I thought that was neat. That was something I hadn't really seen that I could think of. Nathan Fillion ends up crippling the operative. Like, he like
stabs in a way. The operative tries to stab him in like a nerve, but apparently the nerve got like relocated, so it didn't do any damage to him.
Yeah, so not to mention the operator carries a sword, and anybody who crosses him, he hits a nerve cluster like in their back that paralyzes them.
Yeah, that's right. He does it.
His sword in front of him and lets them just fall on his sword. He doesn't actively stab anybody except the operative. Yeah, but he's trying to do that at the end, but Nathan Fillion, he said that nerve was moved or something in the war.
Yeah, and one thing I do like about the operator is that like he understands that he's like an evil person. Like, I think that was kind of a fun idea. Like, he like at one point in the movie, he's like, I'm trying to commit to a better world, but a world where I won't exist in because I'm like an evil piece of shit. Like, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but like, I'm doing it anyway. so other people don't have to get their hands dirty. I was like, you know, that's kind of a cool idea. I don't hate that, like, at all. Like, I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Nathan Fillion cracks his neck, uses his sword to, like, sheath him around a guardrail so he can't get up and, like, chase him. He plays the video. You see the operator watching the video, and he realized the operator had no clue what was even on it. He was just following orders. Because as he's watching it, you see the dawning in his eyes of, oh, we're the bad guys. Like, God, this is awful.
Yeah, he kind of has, like, a change of heart, like, when he realizes what he's been protecting, which, again, another interesting move.
Yeah, and at the end, he goes up, he tells his troops, stand down, don't, no more attacking, serenity. He tells them at the very end of the movie, as they're, like, rebuilding their ship and stuff, he says, you no longer have to worry about me. You'll never see me again. You are not on my radar anymore, and I will try to keep them off of you, but
right.
Who knows what the government's going to do. And then it just kind of ends. They take off.
And that's kind of it, yeah.
They take off. River becomes the new pilot while her brother is having sex with the engineer.
Yeah. Also, that engineer is super cute, and I, like... She's like a body double for Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Like, I felt like she was, like, I thought that's who it was for, like, the first 20 minutes, and I looked it up.
Oh, yeah, kind of. She looks...
She has very similar look to her.
Yeah. Kind of.
And obviously, I'm a big fan. That's Serenity. This did turn out to be, like, a mostly two-man show. I guess
Sean's... I think Sean dropped in just to tell us what he watched.
Yeah. I'll tell you, like, I like this movie. I enjoyed my time with this movie, but, like, I gotta say, like I've said throughout the show, I think the thing that held this movie back is its budget and possibly director. I feel like it's the direction of this movie is really flat, but, like, I don't necessarily think that's Whedon's fault, because, like, again, with the budgetary constraints, I feel like you're kind of stuck. But I felt like the writing was really strong and the characters were really strong and it kept the movie going. You know what I mean? Like, I can understand the affection for this film. I fucked up. Alec, was your favorite part of this movie the grenades?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love at the beginning. Like, you told me not to bring them. It's like, well, why do you listen to me? You should have brought them.
Yeah. That guy was great. That's the lesser Baldwin brother too.
Yeah, Adam Baldwin.
Also, they have it was in the trailer like a billion years ago, but I do remember like the line where it's like, "Do you want to run this ship?" to him, and he's like, "Yes." He's like, "Well, you can't." Like, yeah. I do enjoy that line. That's a fun line. Or I like the Baldwin has a good one too, where he's like, they're in their kind of like final showdown at the end of the movie. And they're like, we're all going to die. He's like, well, I was kind of hoping I would make it. I enjoyed that. I don't know. Let's do five knuckle shuffles, I guess.
Well, you give Goggs first because Goggs texted his.
Oh, yeah. You got his text up?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Goggs said, despite what I assume is having a very budget, which I'm assuming is very small budget, and its production feeling more like a TV show than a movie, I enjoyed Serenity. Nathan Fillion and Chiwetel Ejiofor are doing work. The tone is a little all over the board, bouncing between dramatic and comical with mixed success. Action sequences are fun, but also on a budget, and it shows. I like the whole vibe and aesthetics of Cowboys in Space, and this is a better Borderlands movie than Borderlands was, I assume.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's actually very true.
I never watched the only season of the show, but I want to. I like the whole Reaver plot and look. Very 40K world eaters, so there is a reference for no one. And then he sent a picture of a 40K world eater. How the ending resolves with the agent Mal, or the agent Mal and Mr. Universe using his pleasure bot. 7 out of 10.
Fair score from Goggs.
Yeah.
Luis Heel just got Rookie of the Year, which is a travesty. Give me
get
a fucking
fuck
break.
Out of here.
That is the most ridiculous ass thing. Don't even, whatever, dude. Don't even tell me there's a fucking Yankee bias. That guy fell apart in the second half of the year, and you're whatever.
Yeah. He had a perfect game, didn't he? And then did nothing else.
Did nothing else.
No hitter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ridiculous. Anyway. Alec.
I'm gonna give it a 9. I really liked this a lot.
Nope, Sean's back right in time.
Oh, cool.
Side knuckle.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 9. I thought it was a fucking blast. It's been a long time since I watched it, and I was worried that it wouldn't hold up. And there are definitely some parts that don't. Like, there's some dialogue that's a little clunky, and the effects aren't as good as I remember. But ultimately, I still had a great time watching it. I thought it was a fucking blast. The whole cast is very charming, and they all are very, they have a ton of chemistry together. The core crew, and it really played well on screen for me. I like we talked about the plot, the end with the setting up the fight between the Reavers and the Alliance.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really neat. And it almost reminded me of The Last Jedi when they're going through the cloud and then they come through and there's a million ships there. They're like, oh shit.
It reminded me of the assault on the Citadel and that in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. Isn't there Reavers in Mass Effect also? Am I hallucinating?
There's a. Kinda. I don't want to get into Mass Effect more, but there's like.
Isn't their name? I thought they're named the Reavers. Are they not?
The Reapers with a P.
Reapers. Yeah, the Reapers. Okay. Sorry,
the Donald Pierce guys. Yeah.
All right, cool.
But yeah, I'm going to give it a 9. DJ.
It's an 8 for me, dog. I enjoyed my time with this movie. A lot more than I expected to. I found the dialogue not nearly as cringy as I was going to expect. I was kind of expecting, like, it almost feels a little restrained at times. The movie has its problems. The movie has its problems, but again, like, I think that the biggest problems with the movies is its budget, and that's what Goggs addressed, and we've already talked about. I think if this movie had a bigger budget, it could be a 9 or a 10. But what I really loved about the movie is, you know, how many times have we watched a movie on the show and we're like, I don't know anything about these characters. I don't understand these characters. I don't get their motivations. I don't understand their interpersonal relationships. I never watched the show, but I feel like I know all these characters. All these characters, even just by watching this movie, seem very well defined. And I liked all the performances. I thought all the performances were great. And even though it's a very, very A to B simple storyline, like the strength of the characters really propelled this to be a pretty solid movie. So I really enjoyed. The fight scenes are a little wonky. And again, when the Reavers attack, it's a little wonky. And some of the space battles are kind of wonky. But like the core of the movie. With the acting and the characters, I really enjoyed. So yeah, it's an 8 for me, dog. It's a solid movie. I was very surprised. I was expecting to really hate it, and I kind of loved it. I thought it was great. Sean,
I'm gonna give it an 8.2, and I'll try and cram as much in. Forgive me if you guys already touched on this.
You're fine.
There's a lot of movies we watch, like Star Wars, to name one, where, you know, ostensibly there was a war of some sort, but nobody ever really seems, like, super affected by the war itself. Hang on, I'm switching from Bluetooth, so I might
kind of fucked up.
Ooh,
sounds better now.
Now you sound better.
Well, the charger has, like, a radio from 2005, so I've got this, like, weird kind of setup here. It's like it's transmitting through a fucking cigarette lighter.
Thing that goes.
Yeah. But in this movie, there's a line, exchange I really like, where it's like, we never left anybody behind in the war. And Nathan Fillion says to her, well, maybe that's why we lost.
Like, you feel the weight of the war, even though I don't know anything. I know nothing about the lore. I never watched the show. I'm not a Joss Whedon fan generally. And like, they do kind of an interesting thing with the Alliance where I never feel like they're like the Empire. They're just some giant bureaucracy, and people are fighting because they want to be independent of it, regardless of the politics.
Yeah. I enjoyed that little thing in the very beginning of the movie where they tried to explain like the position of them, and they're like, oh, we're not telling people how to live. We're just telling them how to live better. It's like,
it's a neoliberal empire. Mm-hmm,
exactly. I kind of love that. I thought that was a really great piece of writing right there.
Yeah. I found Chiwetel Ejiofor to be very compelling as the villain.
Oh, he's great.
Like, who has no, like, he's not evil, but he's like, so, you know what he comes across? Like if Tay Diggs was better in Equilibrium
performance wise. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I do love Equilibrium. It does. I know, I'm sure everybody talked about it, but like I texted it, and they did this in some of the Star Trek movies where, cause they have to reuse the TV sets, it just looks cheap. So they turn the lights like all the way off. And there are some scenes that are incredibly dark, but I think Alec and TJ both touched on it. Like, I don't feel slighted by not knowing the show, because they do a really good job of establishing the relationships in the short amount of time that they have. And the scene where Alan Tudyk gets it is very compelling, you know?
And completely unexpected. Like, I thought he had made it. Like, I didn't think. Also, like, for kudos to like a sci-fi writer, because I've never thought about shooting just bolts through the fucking hull of the ship to kill the people piloting
the
ship.
What do they think the windows are made out of, glass?
That's true.
There is one trope I do want to touch on real quick that I always think is funny in sci-fi movies, especially with ships, where it's like, no matter what happens to the ship, there's always just like a dude welding it back together. It's like, do they not have insurance in space, where it's like, could you imagine if you're driving your car and the door and the entire engine and half the car got ripped off, and they wouldn't fix it. You would just get another one. Like, how much does it cost to fix these things? It
reminds me of like,
oh fucking, my God, the insurance premiums alone.
Oh it my reminds God, me of like Space Geico would be a nightmare.
Fucking Mad Max, where you got the fucking mechanics that are working on the car as it's driving the black thumbs or whatever. I was like, I love that.
But idea. I thought this is a perfectly cromulent genre movie, and it does look a little cheap, and like, it does look a little TV-ish at points, but it's far more compelling than a lot of shit we watch. It is a better like Han Solo movie than the Han Solo movie was.
Agreed.
I'm gonna give it an 8. I really liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. All right, that's a certified good ass movie.
Uh-huh.
So whose pick is it next week? Who hasn't gone?
I'm not sure.
I haven't gone.
It might just be you then. Gog's picked Hook, I think. And Sean picked Alien Resurrection.
Yeah.
Jeez, what the fuck am I gonna pick?
And I picked this. So that just leaves TJ.
All right, sticking with, hold on.
Ridley, Sean, I'm on the fucking phone, dog. Right.
Hold on. We are going to watch we're gonna watch the One Piece movie.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna watch One Piece Red. And it's on Netflix. I will put it on the fucking the Plex. I don't know where this falls in the timeline of One Piece, so we might all be fucking lost. But whatever, fuck it. We're gonna watch
about One Pirates or boats.
It's about pirates. Oh, you never watched any One Piece before? It's about pirates. No. So the whole premise of One Piece, Alec, is that all the like basically the whole world's economy is pirates now, like fucking sea bearing pirates, and there's this. The king of all the pirates, right? Like, he retired and he hid his treasure. So then all the pirates of the world are trying to find this guy's treasure. That's the entire premise of the show. Huh. And they've made 4,000 episodes of the show.
Yeah, I think there's literally over 1,000 episodes. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The movie, though, is on Netflix. This came out in 2022. The reason I wanted to watch this one is I kept hearing the animation in this movie is supposed to be out of control. So I don't know. Why not? Let's watch some fucking anime. Who cares?
Hell yeah.
And it's on Netflix, so you don't have to look
Who cares? Movie, the podcast.
I mean, we could watch fucking Thanksgiving, but I brought that up, but then I'm like, I don't want to watch that movie. Probably sucks.
Watch Thanksgiving again.
I mean, that'd be good. I do love that movie. But all right, so next week, One Piece. It's called One Piece Film Red.
Okay.
what a title. All right, hell yeah. All right, fellas.
All right.
We'll see you next week. You know what to do. Eat your ass. Nom nom nom.
Later, boys.
Right. Bye-bye, guys. Now do I end recording or do I just hold on, stop recording.